Senator Paul Gomeller.
Mr. President, I move that further proceedings under roll call be dispensed with, the sergeant at arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
All those in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. The Senate is in order. Reminder, members, after the prayer this morning, we'll be doing the pledge. And the chaplain this morning is a spiritual leader, Herbert Sam, from the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe. After the pledge, after the prayer, we do the pledge. I'll just stay right here.
Thank you so much. I want to say thank you to all of you, members of the Senate from Minnesota here, and I'm just kind of excited to being here. I did some work here with the building years ago, about the 70-year mark now myself, so this had to be like 50 years ago. So we used to climb around up here quite a bit. But I just want to... I was kind of thinking about things last night that was going to happen today, and a lot of memories came back and some of my teachings of what my elder people taught me. And one of the things was that one of my grandpas used to always mentor me, and he would always tell me that someday you will stand before many chiefs and pray for them. And I thought to myself, this is probably what he probably seen. He's seen in his visions. So I'm very happy. I'm very happy to be here. That, and the old saying that all things happen for a purpose. But in our way now, I would like to ask you in your own way to pray. You know, there is only one God. Each one of our cultures carries different names for that God. And I also was taught in my growing years that each one of us has a part of God. And this is the reason why that I have learned to come to love all people, because I have no reason to be mad at God. I have no reason to argue with God. I have no reason to treat God bad, because God had never done me anything wrong, because I'm responsible for myself in this world, and my prayers are the ones that help me and my family and the ones that come to see me for healing. So I just want to say again, thank you very much. And I'm going to speak in my Ojibwe language. And I know I was told by somebody to do it in 2 minutes, and now that's going to have to really be hard to break down, because I always talk to the Great Spirit, and I call the Great Spirit Chimanidu. This is the way that we talk to him. So you may not understand what I'm saying, but when you hear that, I'm talking to God. Mishigo minawa maniduog malungom hoog. The same I beja deshmagi me to go on what o same ah chowewe ne gushanama bejai on deshmachu chowewe ne desh chowanami agwa o and gioma gijana soagma yawajigoma me deshmali do minoa deshma wa o same ah deshmagi me to go on deshmarungum me oma deshma wewe ne gave in deshmachu jinishawagawa amali do go with the kea wind abang a shinika dig minoa deshma with the javanang a shinika dewag. And give a money dog, Yawajig, Shkabe was the one gave in my Yawajig. We imagine money dog gave in the Shma, Nungam gave in showed up in Awad, who obi in Dakujigan. Minawada Shma with the Kea, Bungashimokashinikate go, he owed the Shma, give a money dog, Yawajig with the Kea, Misa go. Way when he gave in the Shma showed up in Awad, who say much, she got away to me go, and the Shma, Uma, Ishichigame and the Shma Nungam. Minawada Shaviti Kaya, the Shma, Giwi, the Nishinaka dig, and Gilgay Windashma, Kiwazi, Madidogi Awajig, you gave in the Shma Chodap Nadma, and Gildashma, being Dakujigig, me in the Shma, Spimming my Awajig, my Gisus, Madidu, Spimming my Ad, my Gujid, Miawa, Madidu gave in the Shma, Hildashma, Min, the Shma, the Shma Lungum, and Janashawag, O Sama, gave in the old Madidu, Mio gave in the Shma, Nanga Madidu. Wasa witi kea deshma, and he got us a wad ma money dug me so go gay when much you adopt in our wad. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you.
We'll do the pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag Thank you very much for sharing this.
The secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzel, Bonhoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Dahl, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fishbach, Phoebe, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Kielash, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Ortman, Pappas, Parisot, Perry, Pogemiller, Pretner Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxhug, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vanderveer, Vickerman, Wieger.
A quorum is present. We'll proceed to the second order of business, executive and official communications.
The Honorable James Metzen, President of the Senate. Dear President Metzen, I have vetoed and am returning Chapter 182, Senate File 2168, a bill that makes modifications to the General Assistance Medical Care Program. I initially vetoed program in May 2009.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that Senate File 2168 and the veto message thereon be laid on the table.
Senator Pogemiller has moved that Senate File number 2168 and the veto message thereon be laid on the table. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails and Senate File number 2168 is laid on the table. Proceed now to the fifth order of business, reports of committees.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that the reports of committees printed in the agenda be now adopted.
On Senator Pogemiller's motion to adopt the report of committees as in the agenda, all those in favor indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. Sixth order of business, second reading of Senate bills. Members, the bills are listed in the agenda. Without exception, the bills will be, without exception, second reading of Senate bills. I will proceed now to the eighth order of business, introduction of Senate bills. There are some changes to the referrals on the agenda. On page one, Senate File 2722 will be referred to the Committee on Judiciary. On page five, Senate File 2761 will be referred to the Committee on Environment and Natural Resources. And also on page five, Senate File number 2762 will be referred to the Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight. And finally, on page seven, Senate File 2777 will be referred to the Committee on Finance. First reading. We'll proceed now to the ninth order of business, motions and resolutions. Members, there are several authorship motions printed in the agenda. We'll do those as one motion. Do we just hold on? So, without exception, then the authorship motions under motions and resolutions are adopted. And we have some re-referrals listed on the agenda, and individual senators will be called on to. Senator Pogemiller.
May not have voted there on the motions.
Okay, we'll revert to the motions and resolutions on the authorship motions. Senator Pogemiller. All in favor of it? Aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. And we have several bills for re-referral. The first on that list is Senate File 1568, Senator Dahl.
Mr. President, I move that Senate File 1568 be withdrawn from the Committee on Environment and Natural Resources and re-referred to the Committee on Health, Housing, and Family Security.
Senator Dahl, have you talked with the committee chairs?
Mr. President, yes, I have, and they are in agreement.
Discussion? There being no discussion, all those in favor of Senator Dahl's motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. Senator Higgins.
Mr. President, I move that Senate File 2520 be withdrawn from the Committee on Judiciary and re-referred to the Committee on Health, Housing, and Family Security. Mr. President, this is a landlord-tenant bill, and it rightfully should start in the Health, Housing, and Family Security Committee.
And Senator Higgins, have you talked with the committee chairs about this? Okay. Discussion on Senator Higgins' motion? There being none, we'll proceed to vote. All those in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. Senator Torres Ray, Senate File 2593.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate File 2593 be withdrawn from the Committee on Environment and Natural Resources and re-refer to the Committee on Health, Housing, and Family Security. And this is my bill, Mr. President.
And Senator Torres Ray, would you give us just a brief explanation of the bill? And did the committee chairs, have you talked to the committee chairs?
Thank you, Mr. President. You have to give me a second.
Okay. Senator Torres Ray, we'll come back to you for
thank you
in a second. Senator Phoebe.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate File number 2617 be withdrawn from the Committee on Agriculture and Veterans and be re-referred to the Committee on Taxes.
Senator Phoebe, have you talked with the committee chairs? And could you just give us a brief explanation of what the bill is?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Yes, this is a Green Acres property tax bill, and yes, I have talked to both of the committee chairs.
On Senator Phoebe's motion, discussion. There being no discussion, we proceed to vote. All those in favor indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. I believe there are three more to be read at the desk. Senator Olsen.
Mr. President, I move that Senate File 2471 be withdrawn from the Committee on State and Local Government and Operations Oversight and be sent to the Committee on Finance. This is a bill, it's a Secretary of State agency bill, and it addresses fees for declarations of trusts. And we've talked to the authors or the chairman of both committees.
Discussion on Senator Olsen's motion. There being no discussion, we'll proceed to vote. All those in favor indicate by saying aye. Opposed, the motion prevails. We'll go back to Senator Torres Ray, Senate File 2593. Senator Torres Ray.
Thank you, Mr. President. President, thank you, members, for your patience. I had two bills that are very, the number is almost the same, and I wanted to make sure I had the right number for this one. This is relating to environment and requiring public buildings to use environmentally sensitive cleaning products, Mr. President.
On Senator Torres Ray's motion, there being no discussion, we'll proceed to vote. All those in favor indicate by saying aye. Opposed, the motion prevails. We'll now go to Senate File 2708, Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate File 2708 be withdrawn from the Committee on Education and re-referred to the Committee on Health, Housing, and Family Security. Mr. President, I have had discussions with both chairs, and it was agreed upon that we would start the discussion in the Health Policy Committee.
Discussion on Senator Lynch's motion. There being no discussion, we'll proceed to vote. All those in favor indicate by saying aye. Opposed, the motion prevails. And Senate File 2494, Senator Saxog.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate File 2494 on the consent agenda calendar be stricken and re-referred to the Committee on Rules and Administration. Mr. President, this is my resolution, and we inadvertently sent it to the floor instead of to rules.
Okay. Discussion on Senator Saxog's motion on Senate File 2494. There being no discussion, we'll proceed to vote. All those in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the motion prevails.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, members, we'll have a brief session here. My intent is to take up the consent calendar. There are three bills. Then to take up one bill on general orders, which is Senate File 2259, Senator Rest Bill. And then to take up non-controversial confirmations. And this should go relatively quickly today. So, Mr. President, remaining on the order of motions, on the order of business of motions and resolutions, I move the Senate take up the consent calendar.
On Senator Pogamiller's motion to take up the consent calendar, all those in favor indicate by saying aye. Opposed, the motion prevails, and the Senate has before it the Senate consent calendar. The first bill on the consent calendar is Senate File number 2475, Senator Phoebe. We'll come back to the first item on the consent calendar and proceed to the second item on the consent calendar, Senate File number 23. We'll proceed to the second item on the consent calendar, Senate File number 2373, Senator Erickson Ropes. Senator Ropes.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have Senate File 2373. This is a non-controversial bill that passed the Senate. I'm sorry.
Members, this is a consent calendar. We're only going to hear these bills once. Please keep the conversations down so we can listen to Senator Erickson Ropes explain her bill. Senator Erickson Ropes.
Thank you. This is Senate File 2373, a non-controversial bill brought to me by the American Legion, the state, and they are following up with a national initiative by the American Legion to declare September 16th of each year as American Legion Day. This is a grassroots effort by that national organization, and we're hoping that Minnesota will be one of the first states in the nation to lead off with declaring September 16th as American Legion Day, passed with 100% support in our committee.
Is there discussion on Senate File 2373? There being no discussion, the Secretary will give Senate File 2373 its third reading.
Senate File 2373, a bill for an act relating to veterans designating September 16th of each year as American Legion Day.
Third reading. Discussion. There being no discussion, the Secretary will take the roll. All senators voting who desire to vote, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 64 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. We'll proceed to number 3 on the Senate calendar, Senate File 2253, Senator Metzen.
Thank you very much. This bill deals with the Rock Island Swing Bridge between Newport and Invergrove Heights. The bridge was scheduled to be demolished, but the city and the Parks Commission in Invergrove decided to save their portion of the bridge for a trail system extension and a scenic overlook of the Mississippi River. So what was going on, they were moving pretty fast, so we had to put a moratorium to save the portion on the Invergrove Heights side for that trail extension and for the experience of people going out on the river on a pier. And we don't think there's any more like this on the Mississippi River. So we put the moratorium on so they wouldn't knock it down, and this legislation simply takes off the moratorium so they can continue to improve what's left of the bridge. I ask for your support.
Is there discussion on Senate File 2253? There being no discussion, the Secretary will give Senate File 2253 its third reading.
Senate File 2253, a bill for an act relating to capital improvements, repealing moratorium on demolition or removal of the Rock Island Bridge.
Third reading. There being no further discussion, the Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 2253. All senators voting who desire to vote, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 64 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. We'll now take up number 1 on the consent calendar, Senate File 2475, Senator Phoebe.
Thank you, Mr. President. This bill, Senate File 2475, designates the date of May 28th to mark the anniversary of the VFW being federally chartered by Congress in 1936. It'll designate this date, May 28th, as Veterans of Foreign Wars Day here in Minnesota. As you all know, our VFW organizations locally, statewide, and nationally do amazing work. They're volunteer organizations, and this bill is just an effort to support those organizations and shine a spotlight on the great work that they do. We'll designate May 28th as that day and help raise awareness of our veterans and the VFW organizations. I appreciate your support.
Is there discussion on Senate File 2475? There being no discussion, the Secretary will give Senate File 2475 its third reading.
Senate File 2475, a bill for an act relating to veterans, designating May 28th as Veterans of Foreign Wars Day. Oops.
Third reading. There being no further discussion, the Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 2475. There being 64, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 64 ayes and zero nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, remaining on the order of business of motions and resolutions, I move that the Senate now take up the general orders calendar.
On Senator Pogamiller's motion, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passed.
Mr. President, I move the Senate do now resolve itself into committee of the whole for the purposes of taking up the general orders calendar.
On Senator Pogamiller's motion to resolve into committee of the whole, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The Senate is in. Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to designate number 6, Senate File 2259, and yield to Senator Rest.
The committee has before it number 6 on the general orders calendar, Senate File 2259. Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 2259 be recommended to pass.
Senator Rest, on your motion.
Mr. Chairman, Senate File 2259 proposes to include now federally recognized Indian tribes and also the Minnesota Historical Society within the definition of governmental unit in the Joint Powers Statute, which would allow them to enter into agreements with other governmental agencies to exercise joint powers activities. Indian tribes over in particular, and Bill started with them, have been asked over the past several years to participate in activities that can deliver services that are most cost-effective if undertaken through the exercise of joint powers. There have been opportunities in forest management, health care, emergency services, education, and economic development that would indeed benefit from joint planning, development, and implementation. And the Minnesota Historical Society, when they looked at the bill, asked to be included for a particular project that they are undertaking at Fort Snelling. So I would hope that people would act favorably on the bill.
Discussion on Senate File 2259. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would the author yield for a question?
She will yield.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Rest, I vaguely remember that about 15 to 20 years ago, there was some infrastructure developments around the Lake Mille Lacs area. And in particular, the Indian tribe there was making a joint agreement, not a joint powers agreement, but a joint agreement to facilitate some septic sewer systems where all of the communities could share in that common infrastructure development that would be shared with a variety of cities, townships, as well as the tribal land around Mille Lacs Lake. I don't know if that was a joint power agreement or not, but from a historic perspective, I thought that Indian tribes have been involved in joint power agreements before. And is this any different, or is this just in the same spirit of a community of people, whether it's a city, a township, or in this case, tribal land, that it's simply working together to develop an infrastructure system to benefit the community overall. Is that how I'm reading this?
Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Senator Lemmer, for that question. Certainly there have been collaborative and cooperative agreements and activities among the tribes and other entities, other local units of government. This one structure of collaboration and cooperation, however, had not been extended to them. And when a joint powers agreement is formed, as you know, there are conditions for the agreement, and then the entity itself is treated as a municipality. This is just one more opportunity for that collaboration, cooperation to be allowed in terms of the structure and the particular instance for the bill came as the tribes were interested in the train initiative running up to Duluth that would go through Hinckley. And they wanted to be part of the group that was a supportive group for that project, and there would be a joint powers agreement to be that supportive group, and this allows them to be a full voting member.
Is there further discussion? Senator Kelash.
Mr. Chair, Senator Rust, is this for the joint powers agreement for the Fort Snelling area, and would that entity then be eligible to be the government entity over the whole site? I know that fortunately is a non-designated area currently.
Senator
Mr. Chairman
Rest.
And Senator Kelash, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Senator Rest, I represent the Fort Snelling area, so the area that you're talking about is in my district. I know that there's some talk about doing a joint powers agreement with the tribes, the U.S. Park Service, et cetera, and I'm wondering if this is a lead-up to having that joint powers group become the government entity over that whole area for development, or is this just advisory?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Kelash, if I understand your question correctly, that the extending the joint power statute to the Minnesota Historical Society was at their request for dealing with the city governments there for some repair and betterment of some of the Fort Snelling buildings. But yeah, the two issues are totally separate.
Sir. Further discussion on Senate File 2259. There being no further discussion, Senator Rest renews her motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2259 be recommended to pass. We'll proceed to vote. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails, and Senate File 2259 will be recommended to pass. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee do now rise and report.
Senator Pogemiller has moved that the committee do now rise and report. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails.
Mr. President, I move the report of the committee of the whole as kept by the secretary be now adopted.
On Senator Pogemiller's motion, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails.
Then, Mr. President, remaining on order of business and motion resolutions, I'd like to take up the Senate confirmation calendar. And do we need a motion on that? Okay, so the members, the intent is to take up Senator Chaudhry's two on Legislative Citizens Commission on Minnesota Resources, Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, then to take up Senator Rest Committee on Board of Arts, Minnesota Racing Commission, Senator Stumpf, Purpose Center, Board of Teaching, State Academies, and Board of School Administrators, and then finally Senator Vickerman on the Board of Animal Health. So I'd yield to Senator Chaudhry.
Senator Chaudhry.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the report from the Committee on Environment and Natural Resources reported February 11, 2010, pertaining to the appointment of the Commissioner of the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency be taken from the table.
Senator Chaudhry on that motion. Senator Chaudhry has moved to take the report from the table. All those in favor indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. Senator Chaudhry.
Mr. President, I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
Senator Chaudhry, on that motion. All those in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails.
Mr. President, I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Environment and Natural Resources reported February 11, 2010, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of Minnesota Pollution Control Agency Commissioner Paul Eager. Members, Commissioner Eager replaces Brad Moore, who left the agency to pursue other endeavors. He has, Commissioner Eager, at 35 years of age, has held several positions at the MPCA since 2002, including Assistant Commissioner for Water Policy and Clean Water Policy Manager. He most recently managed the internal operations of the agency as Deputy Commissioner. Before joining the PCA as its legislative liaison in 2002, Commissioner Eager was committee administrator for the late Senator Sam Solon, and he also served as legislative assistant to Senator James Metzen for the operations, Government Operations and Veterans Committee. He earned his Bachelor of Arts in Political Science from St. Olaf College and a Master of Arts in Public Administration from Hamline University. The PCA monitors environmental quality, enforces environmental regulations, and cleans up spills or leaks that can affect the public's health and environment. With that, if members have any questions, I'm happy to respond.
Is there a discussion on the confirmation of Mr. Paul Eager to the Pollution Control Agency? There being no discussion, Senator Chaudhry moves that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Environment and Natural Resources, reported February 11, 2010, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of Mr. Paul H. Eager to the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency as Commissioner. All those in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails and the Commissioner is confirmed. And Senator Chaudhry, you have another confirmation.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the report from the Committee on Environment and Natural Resources reported February 11, 2010, pertaining to appointments to the Legislative Citizen Commission on Minnesota Resources be taken from the table.
Senator Chaudhry has moved that the report from the Committee on Environment and Natural Resources reported February 11, 2010, pertaining to appointments to the Legislative Citizens Commission on Minnesota Resources be taken from the table. All those in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails.
Mr. President, I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
Senator Chaudhry has moved that the foregoing report be now adopted. All those in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion. Senator Chaudhry.
Mr. President, so I will now move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Environment and Natural Resources, reported February 11, 2010, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of Legislative Citizen Commission on Minnesota Resources member Nancy Gibson. Members, the Legislative Citizen Commission on Minnesota Resources makes the funding recommendations to the legislature from the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. This is the proceeds from the Minnesota Lottery. Commissioner Gibson is from St. Louis Park, is the co-founder of the International Wolf Center in Ely. She was the Minnesota Waterfowl Association Conservationist of the Year, chaired the Minnesota Citizen Advisory Committee of the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund before citizens were appointed to it, and was co-leader of the constitutional campaign to rededicate lottery funds for 25 years to the trust fund beginning in 2000. Ms. Gibson is currently the co-chair of the LCMR and is reappointed as a citizen member to a four-year term that expires January 2, 2012.
Is there discussion on Senator Chaudhry's motion? There being no discussion, Senator Chaudhry has moved that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Environment and Natural Resources, reported February 11, 2010, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of Nancy Gibson to the Legislative Citizens Commission on Minnesota Resources. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ms. Gibson is confirmed. Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the report from Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight, reported February 11, 2010, pertaining to the appointments to the Board of Arts, be taken from the table.
Senator Rest has moved that the report from the Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight, reported February 11, 2010, pertaining to appointments to the Board of Arts, be taken from the table. All those in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. Senator Rest.
Mr. President, I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
Senator Rest has moved that the foregoing report be now adopted. All those in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. Senator Rest.
Mr. President, I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight, reported February 11, 2010, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent and confirm the appointment of Edward Oliver and Mary Beth Schubert.
Senator Rest, on your motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Ed Oliver, who is a former senator in the Minnesota State Senate, is the CEO of Oliver Financial. He served in the Senate from 1993 to 2003, representing the Lake Minnetonka area. He and his wife, Charity, have been active members and participants in several community arts organizations. Their community involvement includes work with the Minnesota Opera, Art on the Lake, the United Way, and the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Twin Cities. Mr. Oliver was instrumental in the cooperative effort to create the Minnetonka Center for the Arts. In 2003, Governor Pawlenty appointed Mr. Oliver to represent Minnesota on the Great Lakes Commission. Mr. Oliver received a BA in economics from the University of Minnesota, and he is a veteran of the United States Air Force. Mary Beth Schubert is from Ember Grove Heights. She is the Vice President of Corporate Affairs for Comcast, where she is responsible for development and oversight over all communications efforts, including media relations, employee communications, and community investment. Before joining Comcast, Ms. Schubert served as a spokesperson for Northwest Airlines and for the Minnesota Attorney General, as Executive Director of the Minnesota DARE program. She has served in many industry and community leadership positions, including Midwest Chair, Women in Cable and Telecommunications, Betsy Magnus Leadership Institute, and she is a board member and marketing chair for the Ordway Circle of Stars. She was a recipient of Minneapolis-St. Paul Business Journal's 40 Under 40 Award. Ms. Schubert earned her BA degree in journalism from the University of St. Thomas.
Is there a discussion on Senator Rest's motion? There being no discussion, Senator Rest moves that in accordance with a report from the Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight, reported February 11, 2010, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of Edward Oliver and Mary Beth Schubert to the Board of the Arts. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. And Senator Rest, you have additional confirmations. I'm going to ask that the Secretary perhaps tell us which ones are going to be coming up next so that it's easier for members to follow.
Mr. President, we have had that conversation already.
Okay.
Mr. President, I move that the report from the Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight, reported February 11, 2010, pertaining to appointments to the Minnesota Racing Commission, be taken from the table.
Senator S. moves that the report from the Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight, reported February 11, 2010, pertaining to appointments to the Minnesota Racing Commission, be taken from the table. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. Senator Rest.
Mr. President, I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
Senator Rest moves the foregoing report be now adopted. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. Senator Rest.
Mr. President, I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight, reported February 11, 2010, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of Jacqueline Duncanson to the Minnesota Racing Commission. Ms. Duncanson of Mapleton, Minnesota, has farmed and raised horses for 29 years. She was appointed to the Racing Commission by Governor Pawlenty on September 10, 2007. This is her first term on the Racing Commission. She was a member of the Minnesota Pollution Control Board for 12 years, and she was a member of the Minnesota Beef Council for 6 years.
Discussion on Senator Rest's motion. There being no discussion, Senator Rest has moved that in accordance with the report from the Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight, reported February 11, 2010, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent and confirm the appointment of Jacqueline Duncanson to the Minnesota Racing Commission. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. And Ms. Duncanson is confirmed to the Racing Commission. Senator Wieger.
Thank you, Mr. President. On behalf of the Education Committee for Senator Stumpf, we have four boards to present nominees for. First, I move that the report from the Committee on Education, reported February 11, 2010, pertaining to appointments to the board of the Perpich Center for Arts Education, be taken from the table.
Senator Wieger has moved that the report from the Committee on Education, reported February 11, 2010, pertaining to appointments to the board of the Perpich Center for Arts Education, be taken from the table. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. Senator Wieger.
Mr. President, I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
Senator Wieger has moved that the foregoing report be now adopted. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. Senator Wieger.
And Mr. President, I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Education, reported February 11, 2010, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of Virginia Katz from Duluth, Susan Mackert, St. Cloud, and Kaimai Terry, Edina.
Senator Wieger, on your motion. Explain about
Renew that motion. The resumes are available. We had full committee hearing. If persons have questions, otherwise I would renew that motion.
Is there discussion on Senator Wieger's motion? There being no discussion, Senator Wieger has moved that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Education, reported February 11, 2010, the Senate, having given its advice, do now and consent to and confirm the appointments of Virginia Katz, Susan Mackert, Kaimai Terry to the Board of Perpich Center for Arts Education. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails and they are confirmed.
Mr. President, we have three more boards. I move that the report from the Committee on Education, reported February 11, 2010, pertaining to appointment to the Board of Teaching, be taken from the table.
Senator Wieger has moved that the report from the Committee on Education, reported February 11, 2010, pertaining to appointments to the Board of Teaching, be taken from the table. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails.
Mr. President, I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
Senator Wieger has moved the foregoing report be now adopted. All those in favor indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. Senator Wieger.
Mr. President, I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Education, reported February 11, 2010, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of the following persons: Jeffrey Anderson from Austin, Daniel Bittman, Lionel Lakes, Jennifer Brist, Crookston, Christy Delaney, Woodbury, Ron Hill, Savage, and Leonard Runk, Lamberton.
Senator Wieger.
Renew my motion.
Is there a discussion on Senator Wieger's motion? There being no discussion, Senator Wieger has moved that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Education, reported February 11, 2010, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of Jeffrey Anderson, Daniel Bittman, Jennifer Brist, Christy Delaney, Ron Hill, and Leonard Runk to the Board of Teaching. All those in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed, the motion prevails, and the appointees are confirmed.
Mr. President, I move that the report from the Committee on Education, reported February 9, 2010, pertaining to appointments to the Board of the Minnesota State Academies, be taken from the table.
Senator Wieger moves that the report from the Committee on Education, reported February 9, 2010, pertaining to appointments to the Board of the Minnesota State Academies, be taken from the table. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the motion prevails. Senator Wieger.
Mr. President, I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
Senator Wieger has moved that the foregoing report be now adopted. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the motion prevails.
Senator Mr. President, Wieger. I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Education, reported February 11, 2010, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of the following persons: Martha Amundson, Northfield; Alex Caddy, Faribault; Nadine Jacobon, Edina; and Walter Kramer, Duluth.
Is there discussion on Senator Wieger's motion? There being no discussion, Senator Wieger renews his motion that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Education, reported February 11, 2010, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of Martha Amundson, Alex Caddy, Nadine Jacobon, and Walter Kramer to the Board of Minnesota State Academies. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed, the motion prevails, and the individuals are confirmed.
Mr. President, a final confirmation. I move that the report from the Committee on Education, reported February 11, 2010, pertaining to appointments to the Board of School Administrators, be taken from the table.
Senator Wieger has moved that the report from the Committee on Education, reported February 11, 2010, pertaining to appointments to the Board of School Administrators, be taken from the table. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the motion prevails.
Mr. President, I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
Senator Wieger has moved that the foregoing report be now adopted. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the motion prevails. Senator Wieger.
Mr. President, I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Education, reported February 11, 2010, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of Louise Sundin, Minneapolis.
Discussion on Senator Wieger's motion. There being no discussion, Senator Wieger renews his motion that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Education, reported February 11, 2010, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of Louise A. Sundin to the Board of School Administrators. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed, the motion prevails. Chair recognizes Senator Vickerman.
Mr. President, I move that the report from the Committee on Agriculture and Veterans, reported February 15, 2010, pertaining to the appointments to the Board of Animal Health, be taken from the table.
Senator Vickerman has moved that the report from the Committee on Agriculture and Veterans, reported February 15, 2010, pertaining to appointments to the Board of Animal Health, be taken from the table. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the motion prevails. Senator Vickerman.
Mr. President, I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
Senator Vickerman has moved that the foregoing report be now adopted. All those in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the motion prevails. Senator
Mr.
Vickerman.
Mr. President, I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Agriculture and Veterans, reported February 15, 2010, the Senate, having given it advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of the Board of Animal Health. Dr. Holly Neaton from Wright County and Dr. John Witten from Douglas County.
Is there discussion on Senator Vickerman's motion? There being no discussion, Senator Vickerman renews his motion that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Agriculture and Veterans, reported February 15, 2010, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of Dr. Holly Jane Neaton and Dr. John Witten to the Board of Animal Health. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed, the motion prevails and the individuals are confirmed to the Board of Health, Board of Animal Health.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I think we've processed everything we can now, unless there's any other work at the desk. Okay. Members, the House is intending on taking up the Bonding Conference Committee report starting at 7:30 this evening. So I was thinking if we started at 8, we can start to discuss the bill and perhaps we can proceed fairly rapidly then. Obviously, we have to wait for the House message. It's been posted. I think it's available on the internet. I forget exactly when the conference committee finished, but if you need information about what is in the Bonding Conference Committee report, you know, if it's not on the, you know, if you want, Senator Lanx's office will give you a hard copy. So I would, Mr. President, move that the Senate recess till 8 o'clock this evening.
Senator Pogemiller has moved that the Senate recess until 8 o'clock this evening. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed, the motion prevails, and the Senate is in recess until 8 o'clock tonight.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that further proceedings on the roll call be dispensed with, the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
As members know, the House is debating the conference committee report on House File 2700, which is the construction or bonding bill. As we often do, I thought to save time, we would have Senator Lankseth describe the conference committee report, take questions, debate it, and then we would be prepared to deal with the vote when we receive the message from the House. It's my understanding that they had a two-hour time limit on their debate. I believe they started at 7:30. So that's everything I know about the situation.
Okay, Senator Lanxeth is on his way. Senator Lankseth, Senator.
I'd yield to Senator Lankseth for an explanation. Senator Lankseth, I have mentioned to members that we're going to follow the process we have in the past while we're waiting for the House to process the bill. Thought you'd discuss the conference committee report, take questions, and be prepared to deal with it when the House sends us the message.
Senator Lankseth.
Mr. President, members, when we went into conference committee, added up the two bills, we were over $1.2 billion. We then proceeded to cut this back down to the $999 million, which of course meant that quite a few of these projects did disappear, and other projects reappeared from the House proposal. There isn't any drastic changes in the bill, but just to give you some ideas, in the University of Minnesota, we were at $111 million, ended up at $101 million. With Minsky, we were at $211 million, and we're now at $217 million. So there was a little shift both ways there. See, on the second page, I don't believe there's really any changes that amount to anything. actually on the third page there's just very, very little changes as well. Under Pollution Control Agency, that Pope Douglas burner did drop from 6 million to 5 million, and then we took the house's Redwood County burner, and that was $1,900,000. The reinvest in Minnesota, we did go up quite a lot to $25 million. Oh, the emergency management training at Camp Ripley did go up from $6 to $7 million. Oh, down at 251 at Hoffman Interlock Rail Yards went from $100,000 to $1 million. On page 6, there were some changes there. Metropolitan Parks went from $10 million to $10.5 million. There's a Phelan Keller Regional Park that the house had for $1.1 million. The Springbrook Nature Center in the northern suburbs came in at $2 million. Minneapolis Veterans Memorial Parks is an addition for $2 million. Bloomington Old Cedar Avenue Bridge, $2 million. The transit capital improvement program went from $30 million to $43 million, $500,000. Page 7. Let's see. There weren't any great changes there that really amounted to that much. Let's see.
That next page is all the same.
Page 8, I believe everything stayed the same. What's that? Yeah. Okay, and that is the changes.
I didn't mention the flood thing, did I?
No. Oh, yeah, when it came to the flood control, it dropped from $70 million to $63.5 million. But those are the main changes. There were a few other much more minor changes. And, of course, I probably repeat some of the things I said before, that the state of Minnesota ranks 42nd in the United States in per capita debt. We're very, very sound, and we've been told by people who are experts in the field that we, if anything, we have underutilized debt in our state operations. As near as we can figure for the amount of jobs, it's somewhere between 21,000 and 27,000 new jobs when this bill is passed. So I guess that's basically it. I'll answer any questions that anybody wants to ask.
Okay, further discussion on House File 27, Conference Committee Report, Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Langseth already agreed to yield, so I would like to ask him a little bit more about the Moose Lake Sexual Offender Program. And I know the House had it fully funded in their bill that came out. We had $1 million in it, and now there's none. And I'm wondering what happened there.
Senator Langseth.
Well, as time went on, we realized more and more, and this was quite bipartisan. There were a number of people in both parties questioning that we should have go full speed ahead when the state of Minnesota already has the highest per capita civil commitment in the United States, and this plan would almost double that. There is a study that's being set up with the Commissioner of Health and Human Services, the Commissioner of Corrections, and the Commissioner of Administration. They are going to be studying this over the coming months and coming in with a recommendation next January. So hopefully we will take the time to really figure out exactly what direction we should be going in. The people that have talked to me certainly have indicated that a one-year delay is not going to cause a big problem, and hopefully next January we can start putting together a program that makes sense. We are so far out of sync with all the other states in the United States. California, which has seven times as many people, has 200 more in civil commitment. And the state of Florida also, they're the only two states in the United States that have a higher number of civil commitments. So we really do have to take, I think, a better look at this. Once those 400 beds would be filled, it would cost $40 million a year more, $80 million a biennium more. So even the former minority leader in the House really questioned whether we should be moving ahead with this and whether we could afford it in the future. But nobody, I mean, this isn't going to cause people to be released that are dangerous people.
Senator Robley.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I agree that we should take a thoughtful approach to this situation with the sexual predators. But it is still a grave concern to me. And as we put together a really big bonding package like we have right here and not address it, you wonder how much capacity we'll have next year if we come back and say, well, in the end, we decided we really do need a $90 million facility. And, members, this is a serious business. Reading an article in the Pioneer Press, it says on average, each offender in this program has victimized 16 people, mostly children. Of those victims, about 60% were younger than 13, and 85% were younger than 18. And then the issue comes up that there is also a lawsuit that's occurring, and it happened because we weren't ready to house those offenders last time. We were still building, expanding the Moose Lake facility. So one of the inmates who got housed in another facility for a time until that was completed because they had overflow has filed a lawsuit saying that what he was living in was more of a prison than a hospital. And apparently a federal judge has agreed with him and gave him a public defender, and the ACLU is also working to defend his case. And so being ready is not a good option, because this is what will happen. The people who have served their sentences, and they will be coming out of the prisons, will be expecting either to be released or go into civil commitment. If they go into civil commitment, they don't expect to be put back into a prison. Then they are supposed to be treated as patients in a psychiatric unit. And I know it's expensive, but we don't know how else to get around it. But these are people, like I said, who have offended multiple times, have multiple victims. The average, again, 16 people have been victimized on average by each of these offenders. And if we don't have a place for them to go, and Senator Langseth mentioned California, I thought it was interesting that they end up going into places that we probably don't want them either, if we would end up having to release any of them. I'm just looking here. It says, in Georgia, one sex offender was forced to live in the woods behind an office park. In Florida, parole officers routinely recommend that sex offenders live
under a Miami causeway, and dozens now live in the colony. In California, sex offenders sometimes are forced to live in trailers on prison grounds, ostensibly free, but literally steps from where they served out their sentences. And this is what happens if you're not prepared to deal with the housing situation for these offenders. That is, nobody wants them in their neighborhood. You have to have the public hearings, and we've all had those hearings in our districts if a sexual offender was going to be released into our communities. And nobody wants them living there. And so how do we prepare for it? We need to be thoughtful, but we need to be prepared. And I just think that not putting any money in this bill is short-sighted.
Further discussion? Senator Porgemiller. Want to talk? Want a break or?
Mr. President, if people are done discussing, then we can recess till the message comes. But Senator Rosen, I think, maybe wants to say something.
Okay, before that, Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I just, again, members, would just like to make a comment about the physics and nanotechnology. It's this project still kind of gets to me because this is truly the one job creator in this entire bill, and it's only being funded at $5 million instead of the $53 million that the University of Minnesota did request. Their preliminary request was $53 million, and the governor honored that. And somehow it was decided that they weren't ready to build or go ahead with the project. And I just feel like this is a project that we should be able to fund because this would create jobs. Biotechnology is very exciting for the state of Minnesota. And this is an extremely old physics building. I think it's like 80 years old. Nanotechnology, we've done a lot of work trying to get that moved in this state. We have the infrastructure in place. The only missing piece is this building on the University of Minnesota. So I'm just standing to state my disappointment, my sincere disappointment that this project has not been funded at the full request that they asked at the beginning of this bonding proposal.
Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Rosen, I know that there are other members of both your caucus and my caucus that really believe this project is very important. We visited that building. It's kind of amazing it hasn't been on the university list sooner. However, when the focus is the most immediate job creation that we can come up with, other projects rose to a higher priority. The reality is the other projects on the list, like Falwell Hall, the design work is all complete for that. It's a total remodel, and that can begin immediately this spring. The nanotechnology and physics building, they do need 12 to 15 months to complete their design and their pre-design and the other studies, the architectural studies that they have to make. So we really could come back next year. We probably will have the capacity and a smaller bonding bill next year to fund this. And I certainly hope to have your support with that bill next year, as well as the other members of my committee, Senator Ladd, Senator Michelle, Senator Lynch, Senator Clark. There were a number of people who signed a letter that indicated how important they thought, Senator Saltzman did. There are a number of people who signed a letter indicating how important they thought this project was. The House didn't want to do it at all, I have to tell you. The House had zero up until the very end. It was probably about midnight last night that we broke the will of the House Conference Committee members, and they did agree with some minor language that we added to the bill to go ahead with the $5 million. So we were very pleased to get that.
Senator Saltzman.
And on the same point, Mr. President, I appreciate that the members of this bonding committee respected the input from the University of Minnesota. However, in looking at some of the documents that the university provided to the committee and in its presentation, it is clear that the nanotechnology and physics building was on track with many of the other facilities. And in speaking with the faculty members, I understand that just as we do design build within our transportation projects to accelerate projects, their architects have a similar process within a larger infrastructure that could have accelerated this project. So that at this point they would be able to begin to break ground less than a year from now to be able to put in footings and those kind of things. So I think the question that I have is for the University of Minnesota, that certainly I understand that there are facilities that have waited in line. But at this time in our economy, I think that we have to look at what kind of facilities really advance jobs and technology in this state. So I joined with my colleague, Senator Rosen, in questioning the university leadership and their advice to this committee.
Further discussion, Senator Pogermiller.
I think Senator Pappas wants to discuss some more.
Thank you, Mr. President. I guess that I don't think we've really talked enough about the job impact that this bill represents. And so I just have a few comments I want to make on the University of Minnesota and the MinSCU projects. And members, you can do the math for yourselves, but you would figure that in the MinSCU list, for about every $50,000 that was spent, that represents a job. That would include both direct and indirect jobs. So the MinSCU projects will create over 6,000 jobs. And that's not just construction jobs. That's also jobs from vendors and other service type positions that they need to complete these projects. The University of Minnesota, we're looking at over 1,500 jobs. So over 7,500 jobs are being created by, and that's only the first page of this bonding bill. I'm sure Senator Langseth could tell you how many jobs are created in the entire bill. But this is definitely a jobs bill, a jobs bill, a jobs bill. And it's all over the state. If you want to put people back to work in your district, in your section of the state, then I think you really need to vote for this bonding bill. This is a very, very strong jobs bill.
Senator Sanjum.
Mr. President, maybe a point of inquiry. I understand we may be going into recess. Are we going to have an opportunity to further discuss this once the bill gets over here? Or is debate going to be shut off at that point?
No, we'll continue to look at it once it comes back. Yeah. Senator Pogermiller.
Senator Sanjum, we never cut off debate here. It seems to me,
Senator Pogermiller.
Senator Sedgum, it seems to me that a wise use of our time is to discuss it now while we're waiting. But trust me, if people want to sit here and talk all night, I'm good to go. Good to go. I thought a productive use of our time would be to try to deal with the issue now. But Senator Sanjum, I want to assure you, there is no urgency to get this bill to the governor tonight. So we can stay past midnight, past 1 o'clock, past 2 o'clock. Some of us were here till 2 o'clock last night. We're kind of used to it already.
Senator Sanjum.
Mr. President, thank you, and thank you, Senator Pogermiller. I guess I want to chatter a little bit because I think it's important, and And I think we all know this. Mr. President, members, I think we all got this letter. Whether we like it or not, this bill is dead. It's dead right now. It's not going anywhere except downstairs to meet its executioner. And it's going to be dead. And so, Mr. President, what, you know, we sit here, and I think of all the trips, and I think of all the miles, I think of all the paper, I think of all the work that has gone into putting this bill together, and right now, tonight, it's not going anywhere, and we all know it, and why don't we just be honest with ourselves, Mr. President? Senator Langston and his committee have spent a lot of time. We all have spent a lot of time on this bill. Why are we going to sit here and jump off the cliff with this bill, knowing it's going nowhere? Mr. President, why don't we put some sense in our head and frankly set this bill aside, re-refer it back to committee, understand the parameters that this bonding bill is going to have to live with, whether we like it or not, understand what those parameters are, and go to work on those parameters and work with the governor and make this bill work. We all want perhaps a bonding bill to work for the state of Minnesota this year. The governor's outlined parameters to make that work for us. We've got to be able to work with him. He's got to be able to work with us, and I think he will. But as we're meeting here tonight, I have this sense of frustration, obviously, and I have this sense that we're simply going nowhere. And I said earlier, we're jumping off the cliff with a bill that's going nowhere. So I would hope that as we recess and as people think about where we are and where we're going with this bill, that we might think in terms of a re-referral. Think in terms of sending it back. Think in terms of putting it together in a fashion that will pass muster, will pass this Senate, will pass the House, and frankly will become law. Because unless we do that, we may well not have a bonding bill this year. And I don't think necessarily a lot of us want that. So, Mr. President, that's my urging. I hope that we can think about that as we go into recess. Make this Senate work. Make this legislature work. That's why they sent us here. But let's not jump off the cliff with a bonding bill that's going nowhere.
Senator Langseth.
Mr. President, we've talked to the governor. I've talked to the governor over a period of years. What the governor wants is his level of spending and his bill. That's what he wants, and that's what he'll sign. But we aren't supposed to have one-man government in this state. Unfortunately, that tends to be what we have. But there has never been any negotiations possible with the governor. We met with him when he was here in Minnesota, and there was no hint at negotiations that he would come part way with us. None whatsoever. So what we put together was a bill that we thought would work. As far as the guidelines are concerned, the governor's new guidelines, we could go to $1.7 billion. We didn't do that. We felt we should have a moderate bill. It's just $275 million over the projection, and it doesn't really cost very much in debt service the next couple of years. We want to put people to work. But unfortunately, the governor wants his bill, and he won't accept anything else.
Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, members, and I'm not going to, you know, Senator Langs has worked hard on this bill. I understand that. And what I'm saying is certainly not at all being critical. But what I am saying is that why are we here in the chamber tonight realizing that this is going nowhere, and we just sit here with the attitude that we're not going to do anything about it? I mean, it seems to me if we've got a problem, we ought to fix it. We've got a problem with this bill. It's not going anywhere. We ought to be thinking about fixing it. I mean, that's what I grew up learning a long time ago, and I think all the rest of us do, too. You deal with your problems as you confront them. We got a problem here. It's not going anywhere. We can, you know, the majority can like or not like the governor. That's almost immaterial here. The governor is a governor. He's got his hand on the throttle, and he's going to control what this bill is and how it goes forward. So, Mr. President, all I'm doing is making a plea to work with the governor, to try to put together a bill that works. And if a bill that works can come out of this chamber, it's going to work for a lot of people. It's going to work for Minnesota. It's going to be the better product. Right now, we don't have a product that's going to work.
Senator.
Mr. President.
Senator Lakes.
You know, Senator Sinjum, I think you probably should compare some bills. Compare the governor's bill to this bill. What did the governor's bill have for Rochester? $2 million in GO bonds. What does this one have? $36 million. So if you want the governor's bill at $2 million, that's probably what you'll get. But I remember another guy a few years ago that voted in support of the governor's bill, opposed mine. My bill had three projects for his district. The governor had none. We didn't get a bill passed that year. I haven't seen that senator around for quite a few years.
Senator Higgins.
Thank you, Mr. President. My head was twirling back and forth between the good members of the Senate as they were discussing this bill. And I've been looking at Mason's legislative manual, Section 111, where it states it is unparliamentary and inconsistent with the independence of a legislative body to refer to the name or office of the executive in order to influence the vote. I think that's a statement that we would be well served if we remembered throughout this legislative session. We are the legislature. We are one branch of government. Let's do our jobs.
Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. President. I, too, think we should be really honest tonight. And to me, that means that Minnesotans lost. And let me give you one small example from my community. The Mayo Civic Center project. In this project, over time, we brought together the Rochester Area Chamber of Commerce, the City of Rochester, the laborers, and our community. That didn't happen overnight, and it didn't happen by accident. It happened because we recognized the unique niche that we had in southern Minnesota. We recognized the assets that we had, and we thought we could make a contribution to our community, to southern Minnesota, and to the state of Minnesota. And here's what that looks like. It looks like an additional $44 million in additional economic impact revenue for the state. It looks like an additional $3 million in new state sales and income tax collection. It looks like 400 construction jobs. And the reason we're here tonight is for those Minnesotans who are out of work. This is our jobs bill. That's why we're here tonight.
Michelle.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I actually didn't plan to speak on this bill until it was actually here. Because it's still not here, Mr. President, and there are motions that we could make if and when the bill does arrive, but I had to stand and I guess in reaction to what the author said, in particular about a colleague of mine. I have never seen anyone work harder, fight harder, and do more things for his community than his and his district than Senator Sinjum. Never. In my eight sessions here. And I don't place some kind of value on each member of the Senate based on how much they bring back to their district. There's a lot more that goes into our votes than just calculating this bill brings back more to Senate District X, so that must mean I should vote for it. That's not the oath we took up here. We didn't walk up this aisle and take an oath just about our district. We did it for the whole state. And Senator Sinjum is a statesman. And I, you know what? I'm not sure how he's going to vote in this legislation and how the rest of the session's going to go. But he's going to do it with a lot more than just one Senate district in mind. He's going to do it with the whole state in mind, and that's why he is a valuable minority leader to this body. And I would hate for that that inference to remain unrebutted here tonight. We are supposed to do a lot more, members, than just bring home the bacon. We're supposed to do a lot more than that.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to take this opportunity to say thank you to the members of the Senate that voted to support the bonding bill 2 years ago that brought hundreds of jobs to my community in Bemidji. And it's hard for me to even understand how anyone could debate the value of these bonding projects in terms of their relationship to jobs. I mean, it's just really hard for me to even understand that, because clearly when we start these large construction projects, it's our carpenters, our cement workers. I mean, I could go on and on with all the different people who would have otherwise been out of work in our community who've been employed during what's been a very difficult, otherwise a very difficult economic time. And the fact that these jobs were there translated, I mean, I've been in stores and in restaurants in my community, and they talk about how the fact that we've had this project has insulated those stores and restaurants from the downturn that other surrounding communities are facing. I mean, we're going to have this project for generations to come. It's going to be a boon to our economy, but it has really been something that has helped us to weather the economic downturn in a much more positive way than we otherwise would have weathered it in that particular community. And it's been, I mean, that isn't even an arguable point. You can ask anyone, regardless of what political persuasion they may be, whether that's true, and they'll be happy to thank you for the support you gave them for that project. But now this year in the bonding bill, I sit on the Economic Development Committee, and there were projects presented on behalf of the Rochester community. And Rochester isn't in my district. In fact, it's a long way from northern Minnesota. And I supported that bill, and I support those dollars strongly, not because they're going to benefit my district, but because as a legislator, Senator Michelle, I feel it's my job to care about everywhere in Minnesota. And I particularly feel, based on some of what we learned at the Humphrey Center and elsewhere, that when we have strengths in this state, we should be using those strengths and building on those strengths to benefit our entire state. And the Mayo Clinic is one of those strengths. And the ability to market that, I guess what is often referred to as brand, around the rest of the entire world and bring business to our state, through those projects is a smart economic decision that's good for the people who live in Rochester, but it's also good for the whole state. And so if we care about jobs and if we care about the future of our economy over our ability to, say, market a particular message, then I think we should be supporting these bills, not because there are just because these are important jobs to people in our communities, but because this is good for the whole state.
Senator Sedgham.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Mr. President, I just want to go back to Senator Lankford and say, I mean, I don't have any quarrel with Senator Lankford. I mean, he's done a good job in terms of working his committee and putting forth a bill. But what I'm saying is, Mr. President, members, that we have a bill before us tonight that it's not going to go anywhere. And so, what can we do as a body? What can we do as a membership here to make it go, to have some kind of bonding bill? I know there's Rochester projects in here, but that wasn't the point of my debate. My point of my debate is, how can we make this thing work? Because right now it's not going to work, and I have great concerns about that, and I think there's, frankly, most people in this body have concerns about that. As has been pointed out, a bonding bill isn't all bad. I mean, you can argue about the projects, and frankly, they're in the eyes of the beholder in many cases. But tonight we have a bill that's going nowhere, and I only ask, what can we do to retrieve that bill, to make it work, and frankly to allow this session to go forward with a successful bonding bill, something that probably most of us in this body want.
Okay, remaining under motions, there's a message from the House to the Senate.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation report of the Conference Committee on House File 2700 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee so adopted. House File 2700, a bill for an act relating to capital improvements, authorizing spending to acquire and better public land and buildings and other improvements of a capital nature with certain conditions. House File 2700 is herewith transmitted to the Senate, signed Elvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Senator Langseth.
Mr. President, I move that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on House File number 2700 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee.
All right, discussion on that motion. Senator Poger Miller.
Mr. President, I think I'd move a call of the Senate at this moment.
Senate's under call.
Mr. President.
Senator Poger Miller.
Mr. President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent member.
Okay, on the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
Mr. President.
Senator Poger Miller.
Senator Sedgen, I do want to, I take your comments to heart because we genuinely have been trying to figure out a way to process pieces of legislation this year that we could have joint agreement with the governor on the general assistance medical care bill. We, Senator Berglund and others, worked long hours trying to, with the governor's agencies and so forth, trying to figure out a way to come up with a proposal that he could support. And I think Senator Berglund was genuinely surprised that he chose not to support that bill in the end. So be it. We'll try to figure out a way to proceed. On this bill, I believe you and I, along with the House leadership, were in several meetings, three or four that I can recall. Senator Clark was there, where the governor said, look, I understand. In one of the meetings, Senator Langseth was there. He says, I understand you're going to pass a bill that's larger than I would like it to be. I understand that. But, you know, proceed, and then I'll line item veto it and get it down to the size that I would want. And there was general agreement in three or four meetings that, okay, that process can work. I would prefer if you didn't veto, line item veto a lot of projects. But I see that has been the pattern over the years, and I think that process can work. And in those meetings, the governor said that'll have to be the process. And so my expectation has been, since that December meeting, that was the path we were on. We all agreed that an early bonding bill made sense. The governor agreed with that also. He agrees there should be a bonding bill. And the disagreement was over how large it would be. And numerous times we said it looks like we're going to have to be a little bit under or at about $1 billion to get it through the Senate and the House. And then we announced to the press that we were going to try to get the House and the Senate kind of close to that number together, and we'd have a short conference committee. We've been announcing that for weeks. And that is the process we've worked under. The House and the Senate, they weren't quite at 90% agreement. They were supposed to be at 90% agreement. They weren't quite there. I think Senator Corian will attest to that. The House and the Senate weren't quite at 90% agreement, but they were at some percent agreement. And that last percent of 10 or 15 or 20% was very difficult, and we were here till late hours working on that last night. The conferees worked very hard. And frankly, it was hard to get the House and the Senate to agree on a bill that came in at that number. It was difficult. As you know, the House bill came in above the $1 billion number. So we struggled to put that together. I think we've accomplished the task that we set out to do, get it done early. My expectation is or was that the governor would just line item veto projects that he did not support, and then we would be done with it and we could move on to the next topic. Apparently the governor, I read in the paper, or I guess there was a letter, which I have not seen yet, but I guess there was a letter this evening that said that he is choosing a different course. Okay. I know the bill has passed tonight. The bill has passed bipartisanly in the House. My hope is that it will pass bipartisanly here tonight. And it's just unclear to me what the new standard is. Maybe it's like the U.S. Congress. You need a supermajority to do anything. Well, we had a strong bipartisan support on the GAMC bill, overwhelming support, only 9 votes against it in the other body. We now have the House on a bipartisan vote on this bill. Again, I hope that will happen here tonight in the Senate also. I'm just not quite sure what it is we have to do to cooperate with the governor. I understand that there are some projects that he would like to spend money on that are not in this bill. I understand that. There are some projects I would like to spend money on that are not in this bill. Matter of fact, Senator Langseth went in and cut one of my projects to get the conference committee report done. I wish he hadn't, but I'm not sure, you know, exactly what Senator Langseth is supposed to do. I'm still upset about that. But he didn't hide it from me. He sent his staff to tell me that they were going to cut my project. Senator Senjum, I absolutely agree with your notion that if there was something we could do to get the governor to agree to a bill right now, we should do it. I absolutely don't see what that path is. And I think the governor, perhaps he'll have another idea here. But if his idea is we have to pass his exact bill, I just don't know how we get there. I really don't. Because there are different points of view in the state and in the House and the Senate. And the governor has some fine ideas, and most of those ideas are incorporated in this bill. But not every idea that a governor has to be in the bill. And this governor has always come up on his bottom line on the bonding bill. He has every time. Now, he clearly is not going to go to $1 billion. We know that. He's told us that numerous times. But the way to get the bill to the size he wants it is to line item veto it now. And that's what he told us he was going to do on at least 3 or 4 occasions. That's what he indicated was the way to proceed. And, you know, if he does choose to follow through on his letter tonight, you know, we'll call him up and try to see how to proceed. But I'm kind of at a loss. One side can't cooperate. There has to be joint cooperation.
Yagbar.
Thank you, Mr. President, members. I guess I took a lot of heat for voting green on the bonding bill from my constituents, and I think Senator Langseth, I really thought when he brought it to conference committee he would fight a little harder to get it a little closer to what the governor looked at. But, you know, our constituents understand taking care of our assets. They understand that some of these projects are good. Although when we talk about things we agree with and things we don't agree with, I mean, I looked at the governor's bill. There's a whole lot in there that I didn't agree with on the governor's bill. So I think we do need to do our job as a legislature. We do need to figure out what we want in the bill to come up to the amount the governor has in mind. And there are good projects in here. I mean, flood hazard mitigation. We've got aviation things. Local bridge replacement. You look at some of what we're going to do there that really brings jobs and getting products to market. Roads and bridges are all about what we should be doing. It's what government should be doing, and it's those kind of jobs that are the private sectors bidding on these jobs. They're getting back to work, and it actually puts us in place to get products to market better. These airport projects, well, everyone knows I'm kind of an aviation nut, and these airport projects, they help all our businesses around the state to get in and out of the airports to do their business from Minnesota. Public safety, You know, that's one where I look at the bottom line there, and quite honestly, in the times we face today, members, that is a core function of government as well. And this whole Moose Lake issue, I mean, if that's not a major public safety issue, that is one thing I think members should have been solved and should have been solved with a lot of forethought in this bill. So I'm appalled that that's not there. There's some military issues that, you know, you look at the bottom line under both public safety and military and you say, boy, that's not a whole lot of money to take care of our veterans that have put in their time over these past few years. So, again, members, there's a lot of things that are good things here. But this is the time when the legislature has to stand up and say, in this kind of economy, and I've gone out on the limb to say that we should have a bonding bill in this kind of economy because of the way bids are coming, but if we're going to have a bonding bill, we have to have it in things that get us ready to be back to the marketplace when we come out of this recession. And members, over 50% of this bill does nothing for that. And so tonight you will see me change my vote. I've been upfront with people about it. If the conference committee didn't do their job and didn't get it down to something that was in the area that was affordable to the citizens of Minnesota, I told people up front I would vote green to move those projects forward, then green to move it to the conference committee, and it's time to vote red, members. Thank you.
Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. I don't think there's any big puzzle tonight. There should be no confusion. The governor has been very clear with people. And Minnesotans, what they want is not that hard to find. They want fiscal responsibility from the Minnesota State Senate, from the legislature, and from their state government. And this bonding bill simply does not meet their requirements. Fiscal responsibility. Members, this bill spends $1 billion. It spends $1 billion in borrowing. Our current budget forecast allows $725 million in borrowing in the current budget. That's what we have budgeted for ourselves, $725 million. At home, if I have a budget of $725, I can't spend $1,000 without there being a financial consequence. And Minnesotans don't want those financial consequences. They want us to have self-restraint. And the governor has said, do what you need to do, but don't cross the $725 million line. We can set the priorities. We can choose one project over another. Senator Lynch, the Civic Center in Rochester may be the best project in this bill. I don't really know. But that's what we should be doing, is deciding which are the first ones we should pay for, and let's agree among ourselves that we're going to stop at $725 million. $725 million is more than enough. But let me remind members, there's one other impending date that might have something to do with the fact that we are voting on this bill in a rush. That date, March 2. We're going to get a brand new budget forecast, Mr. President and members. That's why we're rushing this bill through, because nobody wants to have the bad news that the economy is getting worse, our revenues are going to continue to go down, and we're going to have a mad spending spree tonight and put this bill on the governor's desk to force it before we have all the facts we need. All we have to do is slow down a little bit here, members. Let's get that next budget forecast. Let's see how much we can afford. Right now, the information we have says we cannot afford this bill. We can afford $725 million. Let's go back and work on this bill again. We've identified all kinds of projects and spending in this bill that require and really warrant additional review. Let's do that now, and let's quit forcing this issue down people's throats. Let's not force this. Because, Mr. President, one member here said tonight that he didn't really know what else there is that can be done. This is what Minnesotans they want. They want us to go back to the drawing board, and they don't want the majority here to just railroad the minority. They want us to be heard. There isn't one member in this chamber, there isn't one person in the state of Minnesota that hasn't been part of a minority in some circumstance. Let's start over, listen to the minority, listen to what the governor is saying. Let's go back and build a bill that limits ourselves to $725 million. Minnesotans would be so proud of us if we could do that. If we could get it right tonight, send it back to committee, start over, they would be so proud of each and every one of us for doing that.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, members, I came in a little late and I was catching up on the conversation here tonight. And I was just wondering, how many jobs are we up to now? We had our first day of debate, and we were estimated 20,000 jobs. A couple hours later, it moved to 22,000 jobs. A couple days later, it went to 27,000 jobs for the $990 million worth of bonding. And I figure a week has gone by, so I figured we have to at least be up to about 50,000 jobs by now. Representative Sertich just said 22,000 jobs over in the House. And Senator Langseth, do we have a number yet on an agreement between at least DFL leaders? How many jobs this is supposed to bring the Minnesota people? I guess we don't know. And we're supposed to now make a judgment of even going deeper in debt, and we don't even know what's going on. We ask that perhaps as a good public policy maker, you would consider voting for a proposal that would at least study the number of jobs a bonding bill would create. Your caucus, the majority caucus in the House, rejected that offer in the House. We made it in the Senate, and since it is used to justify the bill, that too was rejected by the public policy makers in this room. That's kind of unfortunate. I think we can do better for the people in Minnesota. And yet, once again, we had an opportunity to do something better for the people of Minnesota, and this body said no. Mr. President, I'd like to move that the Recommendations and Conference Committee report on House File 2700 be rejected, and that the bill be referred to the Conference Committee as formally constituted for further consideration. I ask for a roll call vote, Mr. President.
We need three hands. There will be a roll call. The motion is by Senator Limmer that the recommendations of the Conference Committee report on House File 2700 be rejected and the bill be re-referred to the Conference Committee as formally constituted for further consideration. Secretary will take the roll on the Limmer motion. Senate's under call. Another two have been excused. All senators having voted desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 24 ayes, 41 nays, the motion does not prevail. Further discussion. Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. I just wanted to make a couple of comments on this bill. And I've had an opportunity in the last several months to do a little traveling around the state, and I've talked to a lot of people. And I think that this bill that we have is very representative of what a lot of people believe is wrong with government and wrong with state government. And I think that we should pay attention, that there is an opportunity for people to vote this year. And I think they're observing what we're doing here. And I think we ought to be clear that what we're doing is going to find disapproval, I believe, among a lot of people in the state of Minnesota. Because what we're doing, I believe, is we're spending money, first of all, that we don't have. And we've been doing that at the federal level for a long time, and there's been a very, very strong reaction to that, and I think there's a strong reaction in this state if we do the same thing. Senator Ortman pointed out, we have budgeted for a certain amount of spending to be done for bonding, and we are disregarding that, and we're going to spend more anyway, even though we haven't addressed the $1.2 billion deficit that we know we have right now. We haven't dealt with that at all, and we're going to spend more money. And I think people around the state of Minnesota look at that and they say, what are you guys thinking? What are you doing? Why don't you deal with first things first? Solve the budget problem, then do the spending. But we're doing it the other way around. And I think, too, some of the comments that were made on this bill about, you know, we should pass the bill because there's some good projects in your district or good projects in your district, as if this is some kind of a goodie bag that we're going to hand out to members and say, well, let's vote for the bill so we can all take some goodies home to our district, regardless of whether they have real impact for the state or whether they are in the best interest of the state of people of the state of Minnesota. I think people look at that and they say, this isn't right. We've seen this happen at the federal level all the time. This is not what government is for. It's not to hand out goodies to certain members who have powerful influence in the process and that they get goodies and other people don't get goodies. This isn't how government works. I think people expect a bonding bill to be about things that are in the best interest of the state of Minnesota, and that's what we are all elected to do, not represent our district parochially, but to represent the interests of the people of the state of Minnesota. I think people look at this and they say, what are you doing? And the third thing that we have heard a lot of talk about is how this is not a bonding bill, it's a jobs bill. And I would just respectfully disagree with that. The purpose of a bonding bill is to do things to invest the state's money, to take money from the private sector, spend it at the state level for things that have a long-term interest and benefit to the state of Minnesota. It's not primarily about creating jobs. It is true if we do this and if we do it wisely, there will be some jobs created. But that's not the point. That's not why we pass bonding bills, is just so we can create jobs. And I think people in the state of Minnesota know that too. Because when we take money out of the private sector, let's remember, when we spend money at the state level, government level, where do we get that money? We get the money from the private sector first. We have to take the money first before we can spend it. And I think if you read economists, they will tell you that every time you do that, every dollar that you take out of the private sector, there are jobs lost because the private sector economy spends money more efficiently than the public sector. And so when we do things, we do them because they are in the best interest of the people of the state of Minnesota. That can't be done in any other way. But if it's about jobs, let the private sector do the job creation. And the way we do that is make sure we don't take too much money out of the private sector. And I think the people of the state of Minnesota understand that as well. And so when we talk about, well, we're just doing this to create jobs, I think people look at us and they say, that doesn't make any sense. And I guess the last comment I would make is that there's been some talk about the process and how we all agreed or thought we agreed that we were going to pass a great big bonding bill with all these goodies in it and all these things, and we were going to do this. And then we were going to let, and I don't want to violate Mason's rules of order, but we're going to let somebody else do the hard work of deciding what stays in and what stays out. And I'd say, no, that's our job. We talk about what the job of the legislature is, and our job is to make those hard decisions. But we're saying, no, we're going to pass all these things so we can satisfy all the people that we've made promises to, and then we'll let somebody else make the hard decision about what projects get cut so we can live within our budget. And then we're going to complain about that, some of us, when that gets done, because the things that got taken out weren't the right things or who knows what. But we ought to do that. That's our job. We ought to decide what our budget is, as Senator Ortman pointed out, create a bonding bill that's within that budget limit, and then we send that bill down to the other person to get that signed. So members, all I would say is we should not vote on this bill. I'm sorry that Senator Limmer's motion did not get approved. It needs to go back for further work, but if that's not going to happen, then we ought to vote no on this bill and start over again. Thank you.
Hey, Senator Michelle, and I think we're pretty close to vote. Senator Michelle.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President and members, the world is changing. economies across the globe are collapsing because of debt. State economies are collapsing. State budgets are collapsing across this country. The world is changing, and tonight, the state senate is proving that we have not changed. This is business as usual. This is borrow, and this is spend. Mr. President, I think the messages that we are hearing from taxpayers, from citizens, from our constituents are pretty clear. And a little of it is a mix of what they see happening in Washington, D.C., and a little more of it is what they see happening or not happening here in St. Paul. They're asking us to shrink the debt. Stop passing this on to our kids. They're asking us to stop spending. Stop spending money you don't have. And I think another very strong message coming to us across the country is do it in the open. Make government more transparent than ever. This is the age of Google and the web. We don't need to have conference committees that meet at 1 a.m. We don't need to do this in the dark of night. We don't need to have 100-page bills suddenly thrown on our desk, Mr. President. So this enlarges the debt. It spends money we don't have. It's 100 pages that appeared sometime between 1 and 6 a.m. this morning. That's 0 for 3. Mr. President, that is 0 for 3. We should reject this bill. We should park it and get back to doing first things first. We need to balance the budget. We need to balance the budget, Mr. President.
Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just have a very brief comment. I was looking at the vote, and I wanted to make a small correction. There was a statement made earlier about the other body passed this bill, and it was a bipartisan passage of the bill, and I was looking at the copy of the vote that we have, and yes, there was one member of the minority that voted for the bill, but there were also three members of the majority that voted against it. So I think there was bipartisan opposition to this bill in the House.
Further discussion on the bill, seeing none, Senator Langseth renews his motion that the foregoing recommendations of the Conference Committee report on House File 2700 now be adopted and the bill be repassed as amended by Conference Committee. Secretary will give the bill its third on that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File 2700, a bill for an act relating to capital improvements authorizing spending to acquire and better public land and buildings and other improvements of a capital nature with certain conditions.
Secretary will take the before the roll call. Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, members, once again, I just want to stand and suggest that I think we could have done better. I think that we're going down the path here of a full-fledged veto. We all know that. This bill is going nowhere. And hopefully we'll be back with something that people can agree on. But tonight doesn't look like we have that. Mr. President, I'm going to vote yes for this simply to honor, not simply, but to honor the efforts of my community with respect to advancing a specific project, which is important to them. That said, I think we all know that this bill, as it is much too high for the governor. It's perhaps, well, much too high for the state of Minnesota. And as we go forward, again, I would only plea and urge that if we have a second time at this, that we come together as an executive branch, as a legislature, and put together a bill that we can all get our hands around and work with and certainly advance through this process. So, Mr. President, thank you very much, Senator Langseth. Thank you for your work. But at this point in time, I could only hope that, as I said, next time around, we have a bill that that we can move forward and, frankly, in the end, be proud of. Thank you.
Senator Sharon.
Thank you. I really appreciate what Senator Senjum was just saying. I think we all feel enormous grief when
we're taking actions that create at least the appearance of divisiveness. And I want to go back and say that the ability of the House and the Senate to come together around a bill like this is difficult. And it requires us, we know for all the bills that we have after a conference committee, to be able to bring something for final passage that can accumulate enough votes in both the House and the Senate in order to be able to put a bill like this on the desk of the governor to sign. And that's what we have done. We've put together a bill that created enough votes so that we are able to get a bonding bill put together to put on the governor's desk to sign. For a preemption of that process with the threat of a veto, like the preemption of our budget last year with the suggestion that an allotment would be used, creates a problem for us because we've done our job. We are trying to get something done that gets enough votes between both houses to get it to the governor's desk. We want a bonding bill. The governor says he wants a bonding bill. We have to do the things we have to do in order to get it to his desk. We cannot be certain that we can get this bill to his desk in any other way than the form that it is in right now. So we help each other by getting this bill to the governor's desk, and the governor has the capacity, other than a straight-out veto, to make this bonding bill happen so that it does what it's intended to do, which is not just jobs. I certainly agree with the statements about that, that the underlying premise is that the bonding be spent on things that have statewide significance, that have sustainability, and help these communities throughout the state over a long period of time. These projects achieve that objective. Plus, we've added this year a strong preference that the projects be shovel-ready and that they have the capacity to create jobs. That's on top of what bonding bills are supposed to be doing in the first place. It's not instead of, it's on top of that obligation of the bonding bill. So here we are at the very end of a process where we put together a bill that's made it possible for us to garner enough votes to get a bonding bill in front of the governor. Anything less than this may have not allowed us to be able to get the bill there at all. So now it's up to the governor. He may choose to veto it, but what he can do, and people need to remember that, is help us all achieve our goal by using his line item veto instead of using just an assault on the work that the legislature has done.
Secretary will take the roll. Senate's under call. Senator Solon's, Pretner Solon's been excused, and Senator Kubley, they tell me, is a couple minutes away, so we'll.
Senators, having voted, desire to vote, Secretary will close the roll. There being 47 ayes and 19 nays, the bill is passed. Its title agreed to. We're on announcements of Senate interest. Without objection, Senator Prettner Solon to be excused from today's session all day. Senator Cohn, 11 to 12:10. Senator Laurie from 11 to 12:10. Senator Stump from 11:50 to 12:10. Senator Kubley from 8 to 9:35. And Senator Ortman from 8 to 8:05. Further announcements. Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. I want to just call your attention to a flyer that was left on your desk hours and hours and hours ago relative to Wednesday and the Rochester Day at the Capitol. They're putting together a wonderful program over at the Armory from 5 to 7. I hope as many members as possible might be able to attend that. The folks back home have gone to a lot of effort, and if we could honor their effort by attending, that would be just wonderful. I can guarantee you a good time.
Senator Pogermiller, Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, one more thing. Republican caucus, which was scheduled to be at 7:30 in the morning, I have some comments from our members that's probably not what they want to do, so we're going to cancel that tomorrow morning. No caucus tomorrow, even though Senator Limmer is desperately in want of it. But, Mr. President, could I have the Senate Republican caucus just meet for just 5 quick minutes in the back room in retiring room after session? 5 minutes.
Senator Clark.
Mr. President and members, I just want to remind you the Early Childhood Caucus will be having lunch tomorrow at 11:30 in room 217. There will be pizza. It's the meeting that we postponed the late lunch with the funders. And so Senator Michelle and Senator Bonoff and I and others would love to have you there.
Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, members, thank you for your good work in the last couple of days. The plan is on Thursday that we would take up the vote on the governor's veto message related to general assistance medical care on Thursday, I believe, is the current plan. And so I hope members would prepare themselves for that discussion and debate. Mr. President, there's an outside chance, members, that we will meet on Friday. Outside chance. If we are not able to complete our work on Thursday, we will meet on Friday. Mr. President, I'd move the Senate adjourn till Thursday, February 25th, 11 a.m.
On the motion to adjourn, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senate stands adjourned.